Good morning. My name is Denise Miles. I'm one of the deacons here at this beautiful church, and it is my privilege to read scripture for the month of January. But first, I would just like to note that Deacon Bobby is correct. We all deserve a lollipop. So bring that backpack of yours right back there. And I'm a girl, so I get two. Today's reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. You can find it on page 1071 in your pew Bibles, or behind me on the screen. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, please bless us with the understanding of this, your holy word, and continue to give us the strength to keep calm and carry on.
Like, I know we have talked about this already. It's going to be a theme for at least the month. Keep calm and pray on. According to an article released by Christianity Today, there are 8 people Americans trust more than their local pastor. 8! It is the first article in a series titled Public Trust in the Church. According to a recent Gallup poll, 2 out of 5 people believe clergy are honest and have high ethical standards. 2 out of 5. The poll reports that the level of trust has been in steady decline since 2009. Pastors are now seen as less trustworthy than judges, daycare providers, police officers, pharmacists, medical doctors, grade school teachers, military officers, and nurses. If you're wondering who persons trust least, lobbyists, car salespeople, got this new car I want to show you, members of Congress, and advertising practitioners round out the bottom. But I'm not worried. In fact, I encourage you to put any or all of these people on your speed dial. In case of emergency, since you don't trust me, call Rite Aid or CVS, Northview Elementary School, the Bowie Police Department, Dr. Warden Jarrett, Judge Judy Woodall, or Linda Smith, a retired nurse. She'll be getting, just give me a number after service. Despite these sad statistics, the Pew Research Center reported last year that overall the church has maintained its reputation. So pastors singled out as individual members do not fare so well. But the body sticking together continues to hold up over time. Because if we cannot trust each other, then who can we trust? In fact, I encourage you to identify at least 8 people who are not family members that you can trust in this fellowship. Now, I would not suggest that you rate these individuals or that you publish your personal scoring on the web. Instead, think long and hard about the stories and struggles you've shared together, the memories you've created, the ties that bind us all together. Because Village Baptist Church is an extension and expression of Christ, not one pastor, interim or otherwise. Still, it is so easy for us to fold our arms and sit back when we have a pastor. Somewhere along the way and somehow we started to believe that the pastor maintains our relationship with God for us, that the pastor is a kind of consultant or specialist hired to do our personal spiritual work. Eugene Peterson describes it this way. They hope to do better someday, meaning maybe tomorrow or at the latest next week. Meanwhile, they need someone around who can stand in for them, on whom they can project their wishes for a life pleasing to God. For many persons, this is the pastor. And if the pastor is not preaching, if the pastor is not coming to church, then I'm not coming to church. But that's not even kind of right. Our faith is not only as good as our pastor. Instead, we are made good because of Christ and his cross. In times of transition, it is easy to get the wires crossed, but our witness should never change. The work of the congregation and its leaders remain. With or without a pastor, you are a church, a body of believers. With or without a pastor, God still has a plan for you and this community. Because the will of God is not connected to the pulpit, but the people, which is why you must all stick together. The story of this church will be determined based on how much you really trust each other, how much you trust this process, how much you trust God. If you're still wondering about the pastor and the statistics mentioned earlier, Eugene Peterson writes in Working the Angles, The Shape of Pastoral Integrity, the pastors of America have metamorphosed into a company of shopkeepers, and the shops they keep are churches. They are preoccupied with shopkeepers' concerns, you know, how to keep the customers happy, how to lure customers away from the competitors down the street, how to package the goods so that the customers will lay out more money. What should the pastor be doing instead? Peterson offers 3 things. 3 pastoral acts are so basic, so critical, that they determine the shape of everything else. The acts are praying, reading scripture, and giving spiritual direction. Besides being basic, these 3 acts are quiet. They do not call attention to themselves and so are often not attended to. In the clamorous world of pastoral work, nobody yells at us, that is the pastor, to engage in these acts. It is possible to do pastoral work to the satisfaction of the people who judge our competence and pay our salaries without being either diligent or skillful in them. So there is a story behind the statistics. Pastors are not better than the people they serve, and can only be made better by the people they serve. As Eugene Peterson points out, the pastor's responsibility is to keep the community attentive to God. One of the pastoral acts and one such kind of attentiveness is prayer, of which Karl Barth wrote in 1952, "To be a Christian and to pray are one and the same thing. It is a matter that cannot be left to our caprice. It is a need, a kind of breathing necessary to life. So we cannot say that we believe and not pray. We cannot be in relationship with God if we are not in conversation with God. But when things change, it is easy for us to stop talking, to pack up shop, to take our tools and talents elsewhere. But we are not shopkeepers. We are a family, a fellowship of believers who have been given a sacred trust. So keep calm and pray on." Well, if misery loves company, then anxiety looks for a crowd. Because no one wants to worry alone. No, we want someone to rehearse our story with, someone to wring our hands with, to pace the floor with. I am worried, aren't you? And there's much to be worried about. Natural and human disasters, homegrown terror attacks and plots, mass shootings in sacred and public spaces, threats of international nuclear war, political infighting, doctor's visits and test results, SATs and GREs, puberty, graduation, prom, and pink slips. There's always something to worry about. Truth be told, it is the best and worst of times all the time. Things are never perfect. Something's always not quite right, a T left uncrossed, an I undotted, a hair out of place. As posed by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., there's always a choice between chaos or community. And most often it seems that we are so much closer to the former than the latter. But praying hands ensure that we don't fold. Praying hands protect us from collapse, from falling apart and in on ourselves. Praying hands props us up and gives us a word to lean on. More so, heads bowed in prayer prevent us from breaking down under pressure. Eyes closed in prayer, we power down to allow for fresh perspective and renewed energy. Anxiety is asking, "Who's with me? Who's with me?" It's running around trying to energize the congregation, handing out posters, selling tickets for future fears. It is hoping for a sold-out show. Don't buy its T-shirts. Don't be a screaming fan. Don't stand in line to worry. Don't pray and then go home and bite your nails. This is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. In the interim, it can be hard to keep time and to find ourselves in the story of Christ. Known as the Alpha and the Omega, it can be hard to believe that God is right in the middle with us. Described as the way, it can be difficult to fathom that God can be found in the middle of the road. Our text this morning is a part of the Apostle Paul's exhortation to the believers at Philippi, and it bears repeating because it is not enough to say, "Keep calm." No, it is a message that we must meditate on and model. In prison stripes or an orange jumpsuit, Paul writes, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is writing these words while in prison and awaiting trial. He has everything to worry about, and yet he tells the people of Philippi, "Do not worry about anything," because there is something we can do with worry. Rather than rehearse it, we can pray. In addition to sharing our troubles with each other, we can tell God all about them. And there is a difference between talking about worries and talking to God about what worries us. With the latter, we are handing them over to God. When we pray, Paul says to pray with thanksgiving. Pray with the expectation that the matter is resolved. Pray with the confidence that God will take care of it. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. Because if it doesn't worry God, then it shouldn't worry us. God is not losing sleep. God is not up late at night wondering how this is all going to work out. To be sure, you can't worry and have peace. You can worry or you can have peace. It is only in prayer that you can have peace about your worries. Corrie ten Boom warns us, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. We cannot worry and fight the good fight of faith. We cannot pace the floor and stand on the promises of God. Worrying is draining, depleting us of the energy we could use to petition God to change the condition. You want a new pastor? Pray for it. Worrying does not prepare us for or guard us from reality. We do not face fear with worry. We face fear with peace and with the full assurance that God is with us, not just during the Advent season, but right now. And God will be with us, giving us a peace that doesn't make sense, a peace that is hard to fathom and difficult to grasp, a peace that doesn't add up or reflect the budget. Because our peace is not found in percentages or a pastor, but in the very person of Christ. Keep calm and pray on. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we ask that you remind us not to worry about tomorrow, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because life is more than food and the body more than clothing, and the church is more than its past or even its present. Remind us that you have a future for us, brighter than neon signs, which is why we can see it from the middle of the road. I preach the word. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I believe what I'm saying. Thank you.
morning, Village Family.
Good morning.
We have joining us today Betty Johnson. She's from the Disorder Fellowship, Christian Experience. Please help me welcome her.
Thank you.